You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast with host Fifi Peters.
Pick in on the banking complex then, because we have seen results out of Nedbank earlier, as was it last week? I think it was last week. We also heard from APSA and they showed us their numbers. And today it was Standard Bank's turn to open up its books. MoneyWeb managing editor Rake Fanikak was on that story for us today.
Standard Bank reported interim results for the first half of 2021. Today, Standard Bank is, of course, the biggest bank in South Africa, according to assets. During the period, the group's headline earnings rose by 52% to 11.5 billion rand, and the bank declared an interim dividend of 3.60 rand a share. Sim Chabalala is on the line. He is the CEO of Standard Bank. Sim, thank you so much for joining me. It seems as if all the banks are really rebounding strongly after the bad year of 2020. But do you carry any scars from what happened last year?
Rick, I think we carry scars that are profound, pervasive, and will be long-lasting. There's just no question about it. Our clients suffered greatly from, you know, March, April last year, both individuals and corporates. We had massive bad debts, and we continue to see those bad debts even as we speak. You know, our credit loss ratio is still, you know, at the upper end of our through the cycle range of 70 to 100 basis points. So yes, we carry those scars. And, you know, at a human level, forgive me for mentioning it, but I think we are humans after all, and we need to make these points, that the psychological and the spiritual damage caused by this will never be forgotten. One of my favorite writers, Rick, is Daniel Defoe. And you remember he makes the point that his evident death will reconcile all. On the other side, the grave, we shall all be brethren again. And he wrote that in 1665 during the London pandemic, the London plague, and we face the same today. How many of us have not been touched by this plague? So, yeah, the scars are long-lasting.
Yeah, especially the bad debts, as you've said. Your impairments for the period was 5.8 billion rand. Now, compare that to your headline earnings of just maybe double that, 11.5. It remains significant.
But they halved, can you believe it? I mean, they went from 11.3 to 5.8 billion.
Yes, it halved.
Quite extraordinary.
But when and at what level do you think it will stabilize again?
So, Rick, I'm going to do a Dickens on you and answer you in a way that forces you to attend our report to shareholders tomorrow, our strategic update, where we will be giving our target ranges. I can say that we think it will settle at, you know, our target range of between 70 and 100 basis points. And we're now inside that range at 88 basis points.
Yeah, it's still significant, but it also indicates indicates how big Standard Bank is in this context. But banks are built on confidence, and there isn't a lot of that going around at the moment. There are concerns about the rate of our economic recovery, the impact of the riot. We saw a while ago the prolonged impact of COVID. How are you seeing this lack of confidence and skepticism about of the future impacting the bank?
Great. A couple of points. Firstly, business confidence index in the second quarter, after declining, jumped by 15 points to 50, you know, the RMB RPCI. Consumer index had recovered a little bit, but has backpedaled. Purchasing managers index remained relatively flat. And so even at half year, business and consumer confidence was at a low. And it was contingent on structural reforms. In other words, we need the structural reforms that we've been speaking about to be effected and to be effected as quickly as possible. Now, I think that there is some evidence that they have been. So, you know, we think about the last 6 months, we saw the sale of 51% of SAA. We saw an amendment to the Electricity Regulation Act to allow people onto the grid. We saw clearly improving management and financial performance and generation performance from Eskom. Transnet just announced that it's seeking, you know, private investment in port infrastructure. And we've seen moderation in the public sector wage. Now, as a you know, at the end of June, we were saying to ourselves, yeah, GDP growth in South Africa would be roughly 4.6%. Then we had the riots that you're referring to, and that shaved 0.5%. We think 2021 will be roughly 4%, which is a pity. We don't think that it'll have a permanent dent on confidence. And the reason I say that the riots will not have a permanent dent on confidence is because of the way, for example, the RAND has responded, the credit default swap spreads, and the bond yields and the performance of the JSE. They're all broadly back to where they were just prior to those riots. So I do think that the real important thing is actually the way society has responded to the riots, re-establishing a law and order, the strength of institutions and the rule of law. And then the focus then on actually implementing these structural reforms that being all important. That clearly then will manifest in how our consumers respond, how our business clients respond, and our wholesale clients respond.
Let's talk about the wholesale clients. Your corporate and investment banking business is one of the biggest in the country, if not the biggest. And you facilitate many corporate deals. Did you see any reaction from activity in that sector after the riots?
To be frank with you, we saw different responses from the business, so the small enterprises and medium-sized enterprises. Their response was negative because many of them have had to shut down, whereas the larger businesses are robust and they're able to weather this kind of storm, but the damage to their prospects has been negative. So I've not seen life-threatening events for the larger corporates, but I think confidence has been dented. I think if you just think about our wholesale business and you look at our clients and the way we think about them, the consumer business, I think if you think about our revenues, they're sort of flat year on year. If you think about our banks and non-bank financial institutions, slightly down. You look at our industrials businesses, slightly down. Mining and minerals, also slightly down. Oil and gas, slightly down, etc. And that bespeaks, I think, the after effects of what you saw happening last year. So what the slowdown last year is starting to seep through. But then, as I said to you earlier on, we're starting to see people coming back for borrowing. So the loan pipeline is starting to increase again as people are starting to prepare for a reinvestment cycle in the country.
And that is interesting. When we spoke a few months ago, you emphasized that the bank's deposits or the deposits from retail investors or clients grew by 14% in 2020, which was actually quite, well, not intuitive. Did you see this trend continue during the first half of this year?
We saw the trend of, continued flight to quality, but not at the same rate as last year. But what you also saw, Rick, I don't know if you look carefully at our numbers, you saw quite a big increase in our loan book, in home loans, vehicle and asset finance, unsecured lending, which we spoke, when we described the drivers of our performance, we spoke about the fact that we've seen balance sheet growth in South Africa in the retail part of the business by roughly 10%. We've seen increased activity. Again, we referred to, for example, digital transactions increasing. We saw card activity by our clients increasing. And then we also saw a momentum in our own franchise. So yes, we saw people continuing to deposit, but definitely more people taking loans. And then on the wholesale side of the business, we saw lots of repayments in the first half, but then we've started to see a lengthening of the pipeline again more recently.
And then just lastly, you are in the process of buying the remaining stake in Liberty, which you don't already own. Now, COVID has changed the prospects of many of the life companies because there's been a significant spike in claims. Did you anticipate this when you made the initial offer?
Rick, our decision around Liberty was out and out strategic. We've been speaking about becoming a platform business. And quite frankly, integrating Liberty into the Standard Bank Group, putting together these two great companies, completes the platform for SBG, number one. Number two, we think that this is absolutely important for our clients because you need to be relevant to your clients. And this marriage between these two companies is very important for that. Providing banking, insurance, and investment solutions in an integrated way for clients, I think, is the way to go. Liberty's listing is legacy, and a delisting will improve the flexibility of our group. And I think just the two companies together will give rise to better revenue generation, better utilization of capital, and better risk management. But importantly, the mandate and the reason for being of a life insurance company is to meet its obligations as they fall due when people do suffer the events that they insured themselves against. And these insurance companies in South Africa, in my view, are doing precisely what they were designed to do. And therefore, we think, you know, we saw the pandemic provision when Liberty first put its pandemic provision in place. We've seen, you know, a topping up of that provision at half year. And we've said to ourselves, it's the right thing to do. The team thought this through very, very carefully. They're meeting their mandate and we support them.
Sim, thank you so much for your time tonight. That was Sim Tshabalala, the CEO of Standard Bank.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.